So our reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's starting to read at verse 13. The words are up on the screen, but if you want to follow in the church Bibles, it's on page 1188. And it's entitled, Believers Who Have Died. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we just ask that you will help us in our understanding of this sure and certain hope that is available to every one of us in Jesus Christ. Give us open hearts today to hear, Lord, whether we have peace in our hearts or whether we seek peace or whether we're just so uncertain, Lord, just touch us now, we ask. Amen. Amen. Someone once asked a group of 13-year-olds how long they thought they would live. And the replies came back, 94, 82, 92. One young person said 52, which probably to them seems still very old. But you soon get there, don't you?
Yes.
You soon get there. I don't know what you are. How long does a person live? On average, a moth lives for between 3 to 4 days. A snail, 2 to 3 years. A canary, 10 to 15 years. A lion, 35. A bear, 50. An elephant as much as 200 years. We think of a human life, as the Bible describes, as 70 or 80 if you have the strength. But in these days, many people reach 90 and beyond. And even people who are into their hundreds are not an exception. There are lots of people who reaching those ages. And our Queen had a long life at 96. But we know that it's not that way for everyone. I remember waking on Sunday, the 31st of August, 1997. I was a pastor 1 year into my ministry at that point. I was all ready to go to take the morning service when I happened to put on the radio to the tragic news of the death of Diana, Princess of Wales. She was 36. I had to very rapidly think through and change what I was going to do that morning to some extent, although we couldn't do a lot at that stage. And I had that similar feeling on Thursday when the news came through, and I just thought, You know, you're not just going to be able to carry on as you are here. You're going to have to think this through. Also, 21 years ago today was that fateful day when the terrorists attacked New York, the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and thousands of people lost their lives. So we never know, do we, just how long our life is going to be, and if you actually go and look in a cemetery, something I quite enjoy doing, looking, it must be morbid or something, I don't know, looking in a cemetery, there are of course people of every age and generation. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, and that's just as well. But what I want to ask you for a moment is, when your death comes, are you ready for what's beyond? Are you ready for what's beyond? Because the danger is that we become so preoccupied, don't we, with the passing things of this life, with everything that we're doing, which we know cannot last, that actually we never make any preparation for what's to come. And a service like this inevitably faces us with our own mortality, doesn't it? I don't know if you ever watch that program, Escape to the Country. And people go and they look at this wonderful house and they say, that's my forever home. No, it isn't. What utter nonsense. It's your home for a while. It might be the home of your dreams, but you're never going to be there forever. I remember a few years ago when my own father died, and I took that next step up the ladder, and actually I'm at the top of the ladder when it comes to the males in our family, and that was quite a sobering step as well, because it makes you realise that you're not getting any younger. But do you have hope for what lies beyond? Perhaps you haven't given it a lot of thought. And when someone dies, we're all confronted with the question, where has that person gone? We still have those invisible strings, don't we, that connect us in our heart to them. But what happens to that person beyond the death of the body? It never ceases to amaze me that lots of people haven't given a lot of thought to that question, or if they have, they don't discuss it. And yet, they want some assurance that that friend or that relative has gone to, well, I don't really say heaven, but a better place. So let me speak about hope this morning. What hope is there? We're going to have 10 days of mourning for our Queen, eventually a state funeral, but is that it for her? Is there life beyond? Is there a reward to come for her faithfulness? Let me speak first to those with no hope. I wonder if you put yourself in that category. That this is it, there's nothing beyond. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, man is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. But we will meet God. And in days gone by, the vast majority of people in our nation would have held that view, that they would one day meet their maker. People in the past tended to live more with an eye on eternity. Churches were much fuller than they are today. People went through life with a genuine fear that God was their judge, not only their judge, a loving God, but that they would have to give an account. But we live in a time where many people say they have no hope of anything beyond the grave. The whole concept of life has been reduced to a chance accident, a freak of nature, in a world where there was no designer. And yet our world speaks design, doesn't it? Those of us who hold to ideas of heaven and hell are dismissed as wishful thinkers living in a past generation. But do we really just go out like a light? Where does the energy go? Where does that life force within us go? If you've seen someone, been there when sadly someone has died, you know how that energy, that force has left the body. I'm glad that I don't believe that death is the end, because in that viewpoint, then death is just a disaster waiting to happen, isn't it, to every one of us, and really our life counts for nothing. For some to believe that there is a God that one day they will meet is too morally demanding. It challenges personal choice, doesn't it? It challenges our value systems now. It challenges our lifestyle. So perhaps it's easier to say, God's not there, he doesn't exist. Are you such a person with no hope beyond the grave? But then, secondly this morning, there's a second group of people that I want to talk to. And these are people who hope for the best. They hope for the best. Some will speak seemingly confidently of a relative being in heaven, or they've gone to heaven. Or they might say they're a star in the sky, or an angel looking down, or that they're in a room next door. That's a popular one, isn't it? You know, we go through a sliding door and they're just through the other side. But what is that hope based on? Wishful thinking? Saying what they've heard other people say? Not wanting to consider the alternative? Some will say, well, if God is a God of love, which he is, then surely everything will be all right. He'll just simply forgive us all things, I hope. But not those sinful people who committed the really serious crimes, they're going to hell. But, you know, us generally good people, God surely will let us in. But that same God who is a God of love is also shown in the Bible to be a God of justice and purity. A God who cannot ignore sin. A God who sent a remedy for sin in his Son, Jesus Christ, for all who will believe in him to be forgiven their sin and be given the hope of eternity. Some people like to think it's all in the balance. If I've done more good than bad, then it will be weighed in whichever way the balance falls, decides our fate. But the Bible makes it clear that even one sin in our lives is enough to separate us from a holy God. It's like that piece of string connecting us to God, and you cut it at one point, then the whole connection falls down. Only God can reconnect us. Only God can join us to him, and that's what he's done for us in Jesus. Hoping for the best is really still no hope at all. Because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us measures up. We can't reach God by our own efforts. So what hope is there? I don't know if you took in the reading that I made to us, but it says this: brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. If we're Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't grieve as people without hope. The key to Christian faith is this idea that Jesus died and that he rose again, that he defeated sin and death on our behalf, that he took the punishment for sin and death upon us. The whole Christian faith relies on the sacrifice that he made in my place for my sins to bring me back to God. We don't reach heaven by good works. We are saved through acknowledging that sin, admitting our sin, and asking Jesus to deal with our sin. Should we grieve for our Queen today? Well, yes, at one level. We're sorry, aren't we, that she has left us. But do not fear for her, because she had that clear and personal faith in Jesus as her Saviour. Here are some of the quotes. We used some of these at the Jubilee service, not knowing it would be so soon that we'd be marking her funeral. But she said things like this in her Christmas messages: I rely on my faith to guide me. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to give it my best in all the day brings, and to put my trust in God. 2000. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. 2011. This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve and not to be served. And then in 2014, for me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. The prophet Micah put it succinctly when he said, "What does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" And that's exactly what Elizabeth, our Queen, did. Just that, in the light of her Saviour, Jesus, and what he had done for her. So I ask you this morning, where is your hope and what are you trusting in? You often hear people say, or you used to, not hear it anymore, "God save the Queen." We sang it at the Jubilee service, not knowing that would be the last time. Not that we sing it very often. But the simple fact of the matter is that God had already saved the Queen. We didn't need to ask that for her, because she had believed and she dedicated her life to him. This morning we say, "God save the King." I don't know exactly where Charles stands in his own faith. He has talked about a lack of it in the past, although there are certain things that he said, even in these days, that give us some hope. But I do know this, that Charles, like every one of us, has made mistakes in his life, and some of those have been quite public. That like you and I, he has sin in his life from which he needs saving through the sacrifice of Jesus. So God save the King, and God save you too. God save you too, if you have not yet ask Jesus to be your Saviour and Lord. Will you come humbly? Will you acknowledge him? Will you enter into the certain hope that belongs to those who have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation? Amen.